this Truma Tafshin Pei. So we try, you know, in previous years, dealing with different parts of the Mishkan, right? Truma is all about the different parts of the Mishkan. Right? We talked about the Shulchan, the Menorah. We probably talked about the Aron at some point or other also. And in general, the entire idea of building a Mishkan. So I thought this year we could talk a little bit about the Urios, about the covering of the Mishkan.
That's curtain supposed to be off.
What?
Curtain supposed to be off.
Oh, gosh. The you can't win for, I can't win for losing. Okay, my shizgalos. I know, I understand. It's really cool. It's kind of rats a catchy disease. Okay, at any event.
How do you spell Urios?
Urios,
here.
Yeah. Where is it? Yeah, Urios. Urios.
Covering.
Right, the covering.
How come it's not on this page?
Okay, the Urios.
Don't answer that question.
Right. Okay. So there were at least three coverings to the Mishkan, perhaps four. I mean, there are three layers or four layers. The bottom one was made out of a mixture of tzemer and pishtim, and according to some as well, gold was mixed in with it. So if you look over here, you've got six chutim of sheish, that's pishtim, that's what we call linen, six of tcheles, six of argamon, six of tolash shani. So these three all are made out of wool.
These are the threads.
And what he called, and the fourth one is what he called is pishtan. And according to some, the we're called there was a thin, like cut from foil of gold. What he called, it's like a thread of gold mixed in with all of these also, right?
What else?
And that's what we call, that's what the threads were made out of.
Pishtan, gold.
We call, let's talk about it. Sheish is pishtan, that's what we call its linen. Tcheles, argamon, and tolash shani. These are all different, what we call, colorings of a wool. And then there's
what
a gold.
What was the last one?
Tolash shani.
What's that?
It's also what we call crimson color. Okay. So now this was what we call, this is the basic thread that made up the bottom Urios, the bottom, recall, the bottom curtains that covered the top of the Mishkan and hung over the sides. And we recall, and as it says up here, is a Mishkan Tasa Es Urios, there were 10 of them. Sheish, Moshe Zar, right, the Sheish is the linen, spun together with the Tcheles, the Argoman, the Tola Shani, right, Kruvim. It was when it was woven, so there were pictures, different pictures on either side of the, what do you call it, of the weave, right? Rashi suggests.
That's like Kruvim with the birds.
Right, Kruvim, what do you call it, there are Kruvim that appear upon the Aron, and here we're talking about what do you call Kruvim, so that's a discussion, really, we're not going to get into it, but called, some say that it was the, Rashi suggests, the possibility, again, so even in Rashi, it's not 100% clear if that's what he means, of a lion on one side and an eagle on the other side, or a, what we call vulture on the other side, right, the Nesher. Masa Choshev, right, this idea of Masa Choshev is that it was woven rather than embroidered, right, Tasel, some you'll make them that way. And also, in this Masa Choshev discuss, there was a lot of Cheshbonos, a lot of Remazim, right, a lot of hints to Hashem's presence built into these curtains, in their number, in their dimensions, it says, we'll see. It says next, Orech HaYiria Achas, Shmona V'esim Ba'am. All right, so we said, how many of these Yirias are there? There are 10 Yirios. Orech HaYiria Achas, Shmona V'esim Ba'am. The length of each Yiria, right? You see the length of each one, the 10 of them. Right? Right? Five here. Well, we'll discuss in a moment why it's 5, 5, not 1, 2, up to 10. 5 and 5. Right? Each one, the length is 28 amos, and its width is 4 amos. Right? Chamesh yiros tina chavros isha lachosa. The chamesh yiros chavros isha chalachosa. So you have five. Each grouping of five are sewn together. You can see that over here. You see the line over here. The line is that they're all sewn together. Five sewn together. Five more sewn together. And then in the middle, right?
Loops and hooks.
Right, loops and hooks. What does it say? It says, Vasisa lulos tcheles al svas yira achas, right? Vikat sabach ovaras vachin tasebe svas ha yira kitsunaba machveres hashenis. So you had loops. You can get a picture of the loops here, right? The Malbim is medayik that one loop was literally on the edge of the last curtain, that grouping of five. The other loop was on top, right, of the last of what he called number five, right?
Looped together.
Right, and no, but they what hooked them together was a golden hook, a golden hook, a krasim, one of the krasim. The chen tase b'svas yirak yitzonah b'machveres hashinis chamishim lula'os, right, etc. And what he calls, and you make chamishim karseizav of 50 hooks of gold. Vaychibar to the yiros ishar lachosa, and you'll lock together through the krasim. You'll lock together the grouping of five and the grouping of five. V'haya hamishkan echad, and that becomes the mishkan. That becomes the mishkan. Okay.
The mishkan was a box.
The mishkan we see from here, v'haya mishkan echad, is what he called is the top, right?
The top cloth.
Right, the top cloth is called the Mishkan, or the lowest level. Above that, we'll see there was another, what do you call it, another covering made out of goat hair.
Goat hair?
Goat hair. And there, the curtains were, as opposed to five and five, they were six and five, right? And there, instead of being linked together with hooks of gold, they were linked together with hooks of copper, right? And then on the top, if there were four levels, right, there were there was the skin of a ram dyed red, the skin, not the hair, right, the skin of the ram dyed red. How it was dyed red is what he called is a discussion of its own right, okay. And perhaps on top of that, or together with it, again, that's the machlokas, is where the were these four forms of covering, were they on three levels or on four levels, was a tachash. A tachash was a, what he called, was an animal that perhaps existed only for that time, only for the sake of the Mishkan. It had a horn in the middle of its head. Right? It had a horn in the middle of its head.
What was this hide? The hide of the tachash?
Yeah. Right? It had a horn in the middle of its head. And it could be there are those who want to suggest that it was a non-kosher animal, but the Pashas, as most opinions, I think, say it was a kosher animal.
It had a horn on its chest?
In the middle of its head. Middle of its head. Right? And this could be where the concept of a unicorn came from, right, etc.
They had the whole animal or just its hide?
No, the hide. The hide. Okay. And in discussing, Ray called, discussing how it appeared, so there are lots of different opinions with it. You know, as if we're saying that...
At least one of these pieces is a different level?
Right, no, this is really cool. These ostensibly are all the same level. Just it's a mixture of, this would be the red hide of the, what he called, of the ram.
And the red hide of the hide.
Right, so what he called, according to one opinion, this ram was an immense ram, which existed also only for its time. Right, and the whole hide was what he calls placed on top, and around it. This is only the assumption that it's all on one level. See, it's a mixture. This would be the what he called the tachash, right? The tachash was obviously very colorful. Had a lot of different colors in it, So if it's on one level, so this is a mixture. Here's tachash here, tachash wherever the hide of the red ram didn't cover. That's what would be tachash. Right, if it's two separate levels, so then the lower level would be, one level would be the hide of the red ram, and on top of that would be the tachash. Okay, fine.
That's just the coverings.
Those are the coverings. That's what we're talking about. Just the coverings.
Just the coverings.
Just the coverings. Again, the with regard to the first two, right? Without getting overly complex. With the first two, they hung down on the sides and the back of the Mishkan as well. Right? And as you can see, for instance,
the first two were the
right. The first one was one was made out of wool and linen, and then above that was goat hair. So you see, this is the way what it's called. This is the way it appeared. You see it? It goes down the back. You hear that? You see it? Goes down the sides and goes down the back, sides and back. So to also with the goat hair.
What's so precious about goat hair? Goat is a goat.
Okay, right. Fine. Obviously, if they were asking you, so then what do you call it? So then they wouldn't know what to do. But since the Holy One, blessed be He, since the Holy One, blessed be He, is the one who suggested it, so maybe the idea is to understand, right, why there's goat hair there. So when Mr. Shem will try.
I'm trying to think, you know, what's the question about goat hair?
Right. You can't suck it out of your thumb. Okay. And then what do you call it? Then there's what do you call it? The two coverings, the last two coverings, if it's one piece or if it's two pieces, they only were on the roof. They didn't go down the sides of the back. So again, it's the first two coverings also draped down the side walls and the back. The last two coverings, yeah, only were on the roof. Okay. Fine. So what does it say over here? It's a Mishkan Taz Ethiurios. Sheish Moshdar, Tchelis Hargoman, Tola Ashani, Kruvim, Maase, Choshev Taaseosam. That's the passage we saw before. Says the Malbim, Ve'es HaMishkan Taaseh. In other words, unlike all the other vessels that we talked about before, the verb came first. Va'asisa Aron, or Va'asu Aron, Va'asisa Shulchan, and you shall make a Shulchan, right? Va'asisa Menorah, you will make a Menorah.
That's
the way you talk. Well, what do you call it? You shall do. Here it says, and the Mishkan you shall do. Right? Here it comes with the noun comes first and the verb comes afterwards. Hisbayer etzlenu by Elas HaShachar, that's a sefer that the, what he called that the Malbim wrote explaining some of his klalim, how some of his general principles, how he understands sentence structure in Lashon HaKodesh. Shemakom shemaktim es Hashem el ha-poal yoru lefamim al dover shenase kodem lechein. In other words, when the noun precedes the verb, it is a reference to the fact that this was done already, right, before. In other words, even though if you're looking at in the events as they appear in the Chumash, right, when you have something like this, it implies that this took place earlier, right, took place earlier. That's a Mishkan Taaseh. In other words, right, it doesn't matter earlier. It should be earlier than the things that were described beforehand in the Parsha. Like, let's say, if you read through the Parsha, so you go through the Kalim, the first it talks about the Aron, then it talks about the Shulchan, and it talks about the Menorah, etc. And now it's talking about the Mishkan. It's talking about, the Mizbeach, etc. Now it talks about the Mishkan, the coverings.
What are we supposed to see?
What do you call it? First listen. Yeah, what do you call it? It says that all the Kalim, right, were what do you call it? We mentioned in Parshas Truma first. We talked about the Aron, we talked about the Shulchan, we talked about the Menorah. And now we're talking about the coverings.
Mm-hmm.
So now, even though in the order, the way it appeared in Parshas Truma is you've got the Kalim first, you've got the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah first, and then afterwards you've got the curtains, by virtue of the fact that the noun is written first over here, it tells you this was actually made first. It was constructed first. Right? It was made first. The coverings were made first. And this is an explanation, he says, of the Talmud tells us that even though in the order, right, in the order of things, the commandments appear in the Parsha, talking about the vessels first and the coverings afterwards, but when Bezalel, who was in charge, right, of making it, he made the curtains first. And says the Malbim, it's a diak from this pasuk. In other words, when he heard the tzivui from Moshe, right, about Vesamishkan Tati, understood that this really needs to be made first. In other words, since we want to give order, we want to give a kavod to the Aron, etc., and all the other things, so that was spoken about first, but in terms of how they should actually be made, we see from here that the Mishkan was made first. That's what the
Mishkan is the coverings.
The Mishkan is the coverings. That's the Mishkan. The Mishkan is called Vesamishkan Tati. You see from here that the real, even though it's true, we refer to the Mishkan, right? Right, as referring to the whole thing, the whole tabernacle. But really, we see from the Pesukim here, the word Mishkan is a reference, right? Is a reference to the first covering upon, right? The whole structure. It gets its name, the whole name, it gets its name from the covering. But this is the essential Mishkan, right? And from there, we call the entire structure, we call it, you know, in a general sense, we call it the Mishkan. But really, you know, to be exact, this is what's called Mishkan. All the other things are called the Kalim, right? The Kalim.
Okay. So with the verb, with the noun first, then made the mishkan first.
Right. It shows that this what he called really took place earlier. Right, when it was made, there's something about this has to be earlier than the other things, right? You shall do it, but before you'll do everything else. Fine, okay, that's just a grammatical point, but it's an interesting point.
Well, it's not so grammatical to say they tell you that the Mishkan was made.
I understand, I'm saying it's a grammatical point, is what you call it, it's not a philosophical point per se. Okay, here.
Practical point. Okay, this is what it means.
Okay,
good. Made first,
excellent.
Before the other came in.
Okay, good. The Chizkuni says as follows: "Ves Hamishkan Ta'ase Esa Yirios." He's what he called one of the Mefarshim. What he called the Rishonim, right? The Chizkuni. As Hamishkan Ta'ase Esa Yirios, Heim Tachtonos. Right. This is a reference to the lower curtains, the lowest curtains. That's the one that's called Mishkan. We'll see in a moment that the goats goat hair covering is called a ohel, a tent. Right? And the two other coverings, whether they're on one level or on two levels, are called a michse, a covering. So you've got Mishkan, Ohel, and michse. Right? He says as follows, Hemach Tachtonos, right? Dafka, the lowest ones, the ones that are directly above the Kalim, right? On the roof there, they are referred to as Mishkan. Ide Shaluchos Va'aron Uklea Kodesh Sheshchina. Right, called Shora Behen Munachos Tachtehem. Right, since the Shechina, right, the Shechina is underneath. It's record, it resides upon the holy vessels, the Aron and all the other Kli HaKodesh. That's where the Shechina is. So that's why they call this Mishkan, a place of Shechina. Mishkan, a place of Shechina.
The Mishkan. So. Under the first two coverings.
Under what you call it. In other words, the top the covering that the lowest covering. The lowest covering. That's the Mishkan. Right? The one that's made out of the wool and what you call it, linen. Right? That's called a Mishkan because directly underneath it is where the Shekhinah dwells. Right? Now to understand that perhaps a little bit better, right? The Sifse Kohen from Sfas says Ha Mishkan, right? It says Ha Mishkan Ves Ha Mishkan,
yeah.
Right? Ha Mishkan. He says is Osios Mem Hei Shochan. Mem Hei, right? Mem Hei is the gematria of Adam, right? Mem Hei is the gematria of Adam. Shochan Al Yodo Hishkin Shechina Betachtonim. Through Adam, Hashem can cause His presence, His divine presence, to dwell here on earth. Through Adam, Ad Mem Hey is gematria Adam, right? Mem and Hey is equal to Adam, Aleph Dalad Mem, 45. And, right, if you remember what we learned in Tilim, in the beginning of Perek Kuf Mem Dalad.
You want to get it on the computer?
Right? So there the pasuk says, Hashem, Ma Adam Vateda Ehu. Remember, we brought the Maharal there. The Maharal in Drush L'Shabbos HaGadol. The pasuk says, Hashem, Ma Adam Vateda Ehu. Right? So the Maharal says, the word Ma connects both to Hashem, and the word Ma connects also to Adam. Right? Remember that first pasuk. Hashem, Ma Adam Vateda Ehu. The first pasuk in what he called in Kuf Mem Dalet. We say it on Motzei Shabbos. Some people say it. Some minyanim, they say it.
And that means that the Shekhinah is going to reside with Adam.
Oh, so nobody call it. But it's through the concept of Ma, Mem Hei. Yeah.
Want to drink water?
No, thanks. Yeah, Pasuk Gimel. I'm sorry, not the first Pasuk. Hashem. Can you see it here? Hashem. Ma Adam. So the Maharal says the Ma refers to Hashem, and the Ma also refers to Adam. Hashem is Ma, what? Because you can't put your finger on what
Why
Hashem is.
Why is necessary to have Mem Hei and also Adam?
Because the word Mem Hei means what? It's only gematria is Adam. Uh-huh. It's only gematria. What do you call it? With the different levels. What do you call it? Here, in terms, you can't speak in gematrias. You speak in what do you call it? In pshat. You don't speak in remes, right? Hashem, Ma, Adam, the Ma, right, is reference to Hashem because Hashem is what he called is. You can't know what he is, right? You can't know what he is. But Ma is also Adam Because Adam is, the question is, what will he be? What will he be? It's all potential. The mug with regard to Hashem means there is no way to describe. There is no way to describe him, and the ma to Adam is all the potential of what he will be. So the Shem Hashem, right? So the Maral taught us, right?
What's the potential of Adam?
He could make himself what he called, as a Tzelem Elokim. He can reach unlimited heights. Right. So the Maral said, right, Ma, right, is also the gematria. It's also the gematria of, if you spell out the name of Hashem, look over here, Yud K Vav K, that equals 45. In other words, if you spell out the Yud, right? The way you spell a Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. The way you spell a Hey, right? I mean, there are different ways to spell a Hey, but one of the ways you spell a Hey is Hey Aleph, right? And then we call the way you spell Vav. Again, there are different ways to spell Vav, but if you spell Vav Aleph Vav and Hey Aleph, all this equals 45. And that's one of the names of Hashem. They're different names of Hashem, expansions of the same Yud Kei Vav Kei.
There's 45 letters in.
45 though. He didn't get to 45 letters. He's talking about the what it's equal to. Yud.
Words in Pasuk after we say carbonus.
Okay. Right. That's the Shem Memhei. You're talking about Anabechoach. That's 42.
45.
In Anabechoach.
Supposed to be Hashem's name.
That's 42. That's also another name. That's another name. Right, but here's 45. What do you call it? You see how it adds up? Yud, 10, 16, 20, 25, 26, right? 32, 33, right? I'm with the numerical value of each.
Yud,
Kei, Vav, Kei. So if you spell out Yud
is 10,
right? Yud is 10 because it's what do you call it? Yud is if you spell it out. That's what he's saying. That's saying spell it out. So that's 10. 16, 20, 25, 26, 32, 33, what he called, 39, 44, 45. As you spell out the letters.
Is that right, David?
As you spell out the letters, somebody comes to 45, and that's Ma, right? That's what Maral tells us. So this, remember, it's a Ha Mishkan. This is the place where man, who is, like the Maral tells us, is Ma. What will he be? His potential is unlimited. And Ma, Hashem of Hashem, which is, you can't put your finger on what Hashem is. It's also what, right? That's where they join. Hamishkan. So that's what they understand also, that's why the first covering, which like the Sifsei Kohen told us, the first covering, right, which is over the place where the avod is taking place, that's the place where the two ma's fuse.
Mem-hei.
Right, the ma of Hashem's presence is brought to earth through the avoda of man with all potential.
What's the avoda of Mem-hei?
The place of the avoda, right,
yes,
is where man, who is Ma, as in terms of his potential, what will he be?
That's
he has the potential, right?
Adam,
that's man, right? That's the place of his avoda, which brings the Shekhinah into his presence. And the Shekhinah is Memhei, right? Because Memhei is really called, you can't put your finger on it, it's endless. So it's HaMishkan. Mem Hei Shochan. Right? This is where Mem Hei is Shochin. Through the actions of Adam, who is referred to as Ma. Right? That's the place where the Shekhinah, referred to as Ma, is Shochin, dwells. Okay? In addition, it says, the length of every record of every urea, Right? We said before.
That's interesting.
Right? I should hope so. The length, right? The length of every, what do you call it, of every curtain was 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
The width was 4. So says the Sifsei Kohen once again.
28 what, centimeters?
No, 28 amos. 28 amos.
That's the brokers on the Mishkan?
No, 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 the curtains were talking.
28 amos is humongous.
Of course, we're talking about the covering of the Mishkan. It's covering the entire, what do you call it, it's covering
the
whole.
The Mishkan wasn't that big.
The Mishkan was what do you call it, was 10 wide, right? 10 amos wide, and then the walls are tall, so I'm saying it covers the top and drapes down the sides.
Right. So you're saying the
parochas. So not the parochas, I'm not talking about the parochas. But well, each urea, remember we said.
First two cover went over, you said.
Right, right. But right now we're just talking about the first one. Right now we're just talking about the first one. And the length of every urea, again, remember the picture. The length of every urea.
The length of the first covering.
Again, not the first covering, the components of the first covering. Remember, the components of the first covering are each one of these is called a urea.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got 10 of them. 5 sewn together and 5 sewn together. So the length of each one of these is 28. 28 amos. The width of each of them is 4. It's 4 amos wide, 28 amos long. Nachon?
Well, what's amos in inches? Is almost a meter.
An amma is what he called is
30 centimeters, right?
Yeah, what he called it. Correct. It depends on the size. Depends on the tvachim, right? Depends on the tvachim.
28
amma. Yeah, they're like what he called measure from your fingers to what he called to your elbow. Basically, that's it. Okay, so now. Okay, well, is there he me'arba minim, right? He's talking about it's made out of 4 different things: the tchelis, the agamon, the tolos lashani, and the sheish, right? 4 different things,
yeah.
And they're all wound together, and then the chutzel zahav, etc. Fine. So if you multiply the 4 different types of material plus the chut of zahav. Plus the strand of gold that's in there.
It was six materials.
Record, so no, so it comes out. There's 3 different wool, and then there's
one gold.
Right, one gold, right, and right. And then what do you call it? It was woven 6 times. Okay, what do you call it? Okay, I don't want to. We'll get lost in this here. Let's just deal with the length.
Yes.
So the length, no. The length of every, what do you call it, of every urea was 28.
Right.
And the width was 4.
Okay,
so now, v'heim eser. Ki Hashem hu arba osios. The Shem Hashem, yud ke vav ke, that's 4 letters.
Right.
Right? Right? And what do you call it, yud ke vav ke? It's 4 osios. And the milui, right? And the milui is when you spell out the name of Hashem, okay? Spell out the name. Spell out the yud kei vav kei. We already said before,
yeah,
right?
You
right. So now look. If you do this, if you count the letters,
altogether,
right? So yud kei vav kei, and then you do milui de milui. Milui de milui means right. This yud, spell that out. This vav. Spell that out.
What's the difference between this milui here and that milui up there?
Here, it's different. Look over here. Look at that. This is not the same, but here's the milui and milui. Yud, vav, dalet. Right? This is like one yud. See that? Yud vav, dalet.
Vav,
dalet. Right? So because you spell it out, spell out the yud is yud, vav, dalet. The vav is vav, ala, vav. The dalet is dalet on the top.
Right.
Hey is what you call it, is hey, aleph. And then aleph. Is Aleph Lamed Pei. In other words, when you spell out the letter Aleph, see, if you do it with each of them, it's called a Milui de Milui.
Why are you doing it twice for?
Because that adds up to 28. That's 28. In other words, these are 28 letters. If you, what do you call it? Right? 28 letters.
If you do one Milui, it's 14.
If you do one Milui, it's 10 letters. Here. Yud. Look. Right, if you take the Shem Hashem, Yud, K, Vav, K, that's 4 letters. Right? Nachon. Now, do a Milui of the Yud. That's Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, right? Or record Vav Yud Vav, record Hey Aleph. So with that comes to 10. Yud, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. That's 10. That's
you
10 letters.
Twice is only 20 then.
No, okay. Now you're spelling out. Let's spell out this Yud. Let's spell out this Vav. Let's spell out this Dalet. See what it's doing? That's called a milui de milui. You see, that's called a milui de milui. You know, each letter you spell out. This is the you spell that yud, spell that vav, spell that. That's called milui de milui, and that comes out to 28 letters. 28 letters. So the structure, right? The structure of the urea, every urea, is a piece. It's a name. Is a name of Hashem right there. So again, thinking that as we are being oveid in the Mishkan, we are in a bubble surrounded by the Shem Hashem. Right? You've got these curtains that are four wide, just like the four basic letters of the Shem Hashem.
28 is one of Hashem's names?
20 is the number of what we call it. 28 is the number of letters in the Milui de Milui.
It's
a different thing. It's what he called. It's just an expansion of Hashem's name, because really everything expands from Hashem's name. Everything expands from Hashem's name. And it's his will, right? His will is the source of everything.
So what are you telling me 28 for? What season?
Because the length of the curtain is 28 amos long. In other words, really cool. The width is 4 amas, just like the basic name,
right.
And the length is 28, like the milui de milui. In other words, the idea being that the place of the avodah is downstairs in what he called with the vessels of the aron, of the menorah, of the shulchan, etc. That's where the place of the avodah is taking. The avodah is taking place there, and it's all covered. It's encapsulated in the name of Hashem, right? That's the meeting, once again, of what we call of Hashem,
and
right, and Adam. This is the place.
Shina and its potential.
Right. Further. This will be easier now.
Okay.
Here's the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says, "V'ha'yo yurios hei mul hei." Right? The yurios, we said there were five of them sewn together, and another group of five sewn together, and they were held together by the 50 loops, right, which were linked together through golden hooks, nachon, says the Kli Yakar. V'hayu ha-yurios hei mul hei kineged aseres ha-dibros, right, aseres ha-dibros, hayu hei dibros mul hei. The aseres ha-dibros, right, we've got two tablets, five and five. V'nei chamesh rishonos heim bein adam la-makom baruch hu. Hey Dibros Achronos bein Adam lechaveru. The first luach is mitzvos that deal with Hashem and man. The second luach is the deal between man and man, right, etc. V'chein pirish balaturim. That's why he says balaturim explains. Shayu keneged yud dibros, right? The nun krasim keneged nun shari bina, and the 50 golden hooks were the 50 gateways of wisdom, of understanding. Right? In other words, right, what enables a person to connect to the Rabbonu Shel Olam is by exploring the 50, what do you call it, the 50 levels of understanding. Right? And if he's gonna live like a potato, so live like a potato. But if he struggles to understand, right, if he struggles to understand, then he connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'ani Mosif, says the Kli Yakar, Nofech Mishali, Lomar, Ki Al Yodam Yuchala Adam Lischaber Lel Yonim, Lefisha Kulam Nimsur Lamosha, Chaser Achas. A person is able to connect. In other words, using. In other words, if you what do you call it? Listen to the significance of this. If a person deals with Hashem, which is the first luach, right? Five, what do you call it? Five dibros over here, and properly, and he deals with his fellow man, which is the second set of five, properly, and what do you call it? And he struggles, right, to understand the 50 levels of wisdom, then he can connect to Hashem. Then he connects to Hashem. Right?
Mashrashim. Learning Torah.
Right? Struggling to understand Torah, right? Mashrashim haya shalim bekulam vayachal. Recall by Moshe Rabbeinu, we had everything except for what he called one level. So instead of you struggle in that. Vasisa nun karse zav haya mishkan echa. That will make the mishkan one. you deal properly vis-a-vis Hashem, you deal properly vis-a-vis man, and you struggle to understand, what you call, then you connect to Hashem. Ki al-day mispar chamish yinu el-yonim v'tachtonim la'achodim. Through, what do you call it, through the 50 levels of understanding, you join together heaven and earth. Right? You join together heaven and earth. In other words, if you're dealing properly with your, what do you call it, with man, you're dealing properly with Hashem in your mitzvah of fulfillment, and you're struggling to understand, right? That's struggling to understand that with the 50 ways, gateways of wisdom, that will enable you to bind together heaven and earth. Ki osan hey yirios yinegin dibros rishonos and rebbes el yonim hayoshim rishonim about etc etc etc. Fine. He continues. He says, and what's fascinating also is that these, the 50 golden hooks were placed at the juncture between these two groupings of five, which is directly above where the parochus was. The parochus, down below, inside the, what do you call, the tabernacle, the parochus, which separated the Kodesh Kodashim from the Kodesh. The Kodesh Kodashim, Mike, you, let's take a look.
15 golden hooks.
The 50 golden hooks.
Arias.
What?
On the Rios.
Your Rios.
50 golden hooks, yeah. On the Rios.
Yeah, fine.
Then what?
Okay. Let's see if we can show the picture here. See over here? Here's the parochus. It's hanging on hooks that come out from the side of the, what do you call it, of these what do you call these This is the Kodesh Kodashim, right? And that's all pure sanctity. That's the place where Arna Kodesh is. Here is the Kalim that we use all the time, the Shulchan, the menorah. Here's the functioning where man functions, and here's the Holy of Holies.
Mishkan is in the Holy of Holies.
Right, but the whole thing is what he called. This all is covered. This is holy and this is holy of holies. So I'm saying the 50 hooks that connect the five over here, right, and the five over here are directly above the parochus, which separates this from this.
It looks like the 50 hooks are all the way around.
No, 50 hooks are right where you go over here. Uh-huh. 50 hooks that attach to what he called. These 50 hooks. These 50 hooks appear directly above the parochus. So just as we said, one side of the record, the rios, right, are talking about the five, what do you call, the five commandments of Hashem and what do you call it, and man.
Yeah, man.
These
man.
Are what do you call it, are the five keneged, man and man. Here, underneath here is the Kodesh Kodashim, right? He used to drape in the back also.
Right.
Here's the Kodesh Kodashim, which is pure Shekhinah presence, Hashem's presence, right, in the Aron.
Wouldn't be the Parochus 28 by 4 or something. Same with 28.
It's hanging down, remember. The parochus is hanging down over here.
So it's going to be 28 amos long?
No, it's going across the width. It's going across the width. It's not going to be called the width.
I know, you're saying there must be some kind of snippy.
No, I'm not talking anything numerical.
I know.
I'm not talking anything numerical. What do you call it? The parochus is directly beneath these parochim. So just as the parochus divides the Kodesh Kodashim, right? Hashem, his presence. And here, where man does more avoda, the aron, but not the aron, the, what do you call the shulchan, the menorah, etc., over here, so what do you call these trusim that divide the two different types of things, are directly above the parochus. So what do you call it? Right.
So what does that mean, 50 to 50?
He's not talking about what do you call it, he's just saying that the idea is that the
parochus is hung with 50 hooks, just like 50 hooks.
They're not 50 hooks. There's 50 hooks on the Urios. Okay, and those 50 hooks appear directly above, right, the parochus, which is hanging over here.
Yeah.
The parochus over here separates the Aron, right, from the holy, where the Shulchan and the menorah.
Okay.
And so too over here in the hooks with the Urios, mm-hmm. The Kliyaka said, these mitzvos, These are the represent the five, the man, five. What do you call it? The five man and man,
that
right?
Is on the
right, right, and that record those areas, and that's above the Kodesh, where we call where the recall of the where the menorah and the shulchan are, and the five over here, the five areas over here. Right, which he said represent the five commandments between man and Hashem.
Right.
They're directly above the Kodesh Kodashim, which is the place where Hashem dwells. So he's saying what he's saying that the ceiling, as it were, is parallel, right, to the functioning of what's going down below it also.
Yeah, just one little quick question on that. Can I see that book for a second?
Yeah.
If the Mishkan is in the center of the Holy of Holies,
it's not
directly above the...
No. The Mishkan is not... The Mishkan here. Look at it over here.
In the room where the Mishkan is, where it's located, that it should be directly above...
This is where... Here you got two and a half, right, of these areas are over here. Here, two and a half... Let's look at this picture, it's better. Two and a half of the areas. Underneath here is the Kodesh Kodashim. Underneath here is the Kodesh Kodashim, is where we call the Aron is. Over here is where the menorah and the shulchan are. Underneath here. Right? These five, right, he says, are representative of the mitzvahs of man and man. These five are representative of the mitzvahs of man and Hashem. And what do you call these five urios, two and a half are on the top, and two and a half drape down and cover the back of the Holy of Holies. So he's saying that we call it, just as these five represent the dibros between Hashem and man, underneath it is the place of the dwelling place of Hashem, the Holy of Holies. Here, where the five are the mitzvos between man and man, underneath here are the place where the kalim that more relate to man's avoda, his actions that relate to man, the menorah, his what he called his shulchan, his parnasa, his wisdom, etc. They're over here.
This is on the parochas.
Right. This and here and these hooks that attach the two sets of five are directly above the parochas, which is hanging down beneath you. You can't see it, but it's hanging down, and that's what separates the Holy of Holies from the holy. Right. That's that's what makes it parallel. Okay. Fine. Enough of that. Rick, there's more here, but let's bite off more than we can chew. The next level is the level, and here I'm going to synopsize. The next level is the level of the Rios Ezim, the curtains made out of the goat hair. The goat is always associated with, right, Esav. And that's why there are 11 Urios there.
Mm-hmm.
11 Urios. Why? So says the Ben Yoyada, because in the world of Kedusha, what sustains it, right, what sustains the world of Kedusha is within itself, because all the parts, right, are sanctified, right? All the parts are sanctified. In the world of Esav, so there has to be some Kedusha which is sustaining it, because nothing can be sustained without Kedusha. But nonetheless, the parts, right, are not yet kadosh. The parts are what you call, are not being used properly yet. So therefore, it's 11, right? It's on the outside. The kedusha that sustains it is outside of the parts. You hear him saying? In other words, even evil, has to be supported by something of kedusha. Otherwise, it can't exist. Right? Even evil. But in the world of Kedusha, what sustains it is inside, says the Ben Yehoyada, because all the parts are sanctified as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of evil, right, it's a sporting keel from the outside, because all the parts are not sanctified. So those are the 11, right?
I don't understand the 11. Supporting 11 is the levels of Kedusha?
Again, what do you call it? In the world, everything is parallel. Everything is parallel, right? Just like there's good in the world, there is also what we see as ra in the world. There's bad in the world. How does the bad continue to exist? Mm-hmm. It's to disappear. It's not connected. So even the bad has to be sustained by what you call by the good, right? Except that the difference is when you're talking about something that's good in its essence, so then all the parts, the good is filling them and connecting them. It's all from the inside, because all the parts are also being used for Kedusha. The system of evil, right? So they're the disparate parts.
Inside and outside. Inside of what?
You got a tzaddik. You have a tzaddik. So the tzaddik is a tzaddik, right? And everything he does is what you call is good. The way he uses his eyes, the way he uses his ears, the way he uses his hands, the way he uses his feet, the way he uses every part of his body, the way he speaks, the way he thinks, the way he feels, he's all an integrated good. So therefore, right, in the world of goodness, right, what sustains it is within itself, because all the parts are also are contributing to good. But now you've got a Russia, let's say. You've got a Russia, yeah? And that Russia, so his actions are terrible. The way he uses his eyes, the way he uses his mouth, the way he uses his ears, the way he uses his hands, the way he uses his legs, everything is terrible. How does he exist? There must be, right? There must be something which is part of the truth, which even though it can't live inside of him per se, right? But from the outside, it sustains him, right? The tzaddik and the Russia, if you look at them physiologically, they look exactly the same. Same eyes, same ears, same nose, same mouth. It looks all the same. The difference is on a spiritual level, the life-sustaining force inside the tzaddik is inside of him, because it blends into all every part of what he does. Whereas the life-sustaining force in the Russia is outside of him. Right?
Okay.
So therefore, that's what we're saying, what he called in the world of Kedusha, it's 10, right? Because the what he called, that which sustains all the different parts is blended in with all the different parts, because they're all contributing to Kedusha.
Where are you getting 10 from?
What do you mean, where are you getting 10 from?
Where are you saying 10?
Let's say what he called in the world of Spheros, of the way Hashem, what he called, the way Hashem brings his Hashpah down to the earth. Yeah? Okay. In the world of the Russia, right? So his totality, his really, he's got, it looks like he's made it, he looks like his structure is the same, it looks like he's got 10 spheres, but those 10 spheres are not what we call Kedusha. Where do we sustain them? We sustain the outside. That's why it's by him, it's 11. That's what the Ben Yehoyada says. Again, there are different ways to understand it, but that's what he says. Okay? That's what he says. So now, what we're talking about here is, imagine, this is a very strange thing. Why are we having something of Esav? What's it doing over here? What are we doing with something of 11? Like we said, the A's, the goat is always a symbol, like the Seir La'azazel on Kippur, the scapegoat. The goat is always associated with Esav, right? Right? The sheep is always associated with Yaakov. And the goat, right, with its wildness, is always associated with Esav. What's it doing in the Mishkan? So let's see here, this Shemesh Shmuel. Right? See the Shemesh Shmuel. He says, V'zos ha'truma shatikum itam zav v'chesef v'nechoshes. Right? He's bringing two Midrashim here. And through his explanation of the Midrashim, we'll understand something here. The Midrash says, V'zos ha'truma shatikum itam. Right, it's the first, what do you call it? It's talking about in the Medrash Rabbah. It says, and this is the donations that you're going to take from them: zahav, gold, kesef, silver, nechoshes, copper, right? And then the Medrash says that each one of these, what do you call it? Each one of these components, zahav, kesef, nechoshes, reflects one of the nations of the world who conquered the Jewish people, right? Zahav is Bavel, right? And kesef is Persia, and nechoshes is Yavon. But it doesn't say Barzel over there. It doesn't say iron, because iron is associated with Edom, right? That can't be contributed to the Mishkan. In other words, the Mishkan has the potential to uplift, right? Eventually, in other words, as the Jewish people serve Hashem in the world, then as they lift themselves up, eventually they'll lift up everything that fought against Hashem throughout the millennia. So the Zahav, which represents, in the vision of Daniel, right? The Zahav, which represented, right? Bavel, will be uplifted. So therefore we can accept a donation of gold, because gold is not what we call gold. Gold represents also Bavel, but that can be uplifted. We'll accept a donation of silver, because that represents Persia, and Persia can also be uplifted eventually. And we'll accept Nechoshes, we'll accept copper. Why? Because copper represents Yavon, and Yavon can also be uplifted. But note, there's no contribution of Barzel, of iron, because iron represents Edom, and Edom can't be uplifted. That's one medrash.
Why can't iron be uplifted?
Kanirah, you would call there's is something still bad about
iron
them.
Iron is a combination of all of these.
No.
Iron is a smelted metal.
No, iron's not a smelted metal. Steel, you're thinking of.
Iron is
Fe. It's what you call it, it's a pure element. Right? Iron can't be accepted. Right? Iron can't be uplifted. But then he brings another Medrash Tanchuma, that says, right? It says that the Zav, the Kesef, and the Choshes are connected to the three Malchios, right? And then it says the Oros, Elim, Adamim, connected Malchus Edom, right? Right? Malchus Edom. Oh, what do you call it? He's talking on the Elim, Adamim. Okay, I skipped the easy. Okay. Okay, time out. I have to backtrack just a scooch. Mm-hmm. Right, caught. The goat hair, right? Even though that shows the flaw in man, mm-hmm. but that could also be uplifted. We'll say it like that. That's what we call from the Medrash HaGadol. That Hashem is willing to place His Shechin in our midst, even though sometimes we lead a flawed life, right? Right, we lead a flawed life. We lead a life that's influenced by what we call it, by Edom. Right, a flawed life like the A's, yeah, that represents what we call it, the mistakes in man. So the lowest, the level that's immediately above the Mishkan is all pure. It's all pure. That's 10. The level above that is even when we have a flawed life. That's the A's, right? What do you call it? Even when we have a flawed life, Hashem is willing to place His Shechin in our midst, because He knows that He can uplift us out of that flawed life. That's the Ezim. Then now we come to the Oros Elim Adamim, the red, what do you call it? The dyed red, ram skin, and there it's ma'adomim, it's red, it's dyed red, and that represents Edom. I apologize. That represents Edom. So we've got one medrash that says that we exclude Edom, right? We won't accept Barzel. We won't accept iron as part of the contribution to the Mishkan. On the other hand, another medrash says that what? No. The Elim Adomim, the ram skins that were dyed red, yeah, are contributed to the Mishkan, and they represent Edom. So what's going on? One measure says we exclude Edom, and the other measure says we include Edom. They can also be uplifted. So the Brikol Hashem Yishmul says, right, you'll note that the gold and the silver and the copper were all used for things that were in the inside of the tabernacle, on the inside. Just like those nations, right, they're represented by the different non-clean animals, by the gamal, by the camel, by the arnevet, by the rabbit, by the shafan, by the rock badger. All of those non-clean animals, they have two signs, what do you call it? There are always two signs to determine whether something is kosher or not. In them, their unkosher sign is on the outside, and their kosher sign is on the inside. And those on the inside, in their inside, they have the same quality of a kosher animal. On the outside, it's not kosher. So since their insides are okay, they can be used inside the building of the Mishkan. But Edom, its inside is no good. It's its outside that, what do you call it, that has a kosher sign. Like we know the Chazir, he's represented by the Chazir, by the pig. The pig has got cloven feet on the outside, so he says, I'm kosher on the outside. But the inside, he's not kosher. He's not, doesn't chew his cud. Doesn't chew his cud. So therefore, the pig, right, his insides are not acceptable. Edom, his insides are not acceptable, but his outsides are acceptable. So therefore, he can contribute to the curtains that cover and not to the components that are used inside the tabernacle. Okay? And finally, right, finally, let's really call it just the last thing, and then we'll wrap it up. The last covering is the tachash, right? This tachash, this special animal. Right? It comes out from the Mefarshim that there may have been tachashim that were not kosher, and then record for the Mishkan that became kosher, right? There were certain, we'd call tachashim that were kosher. And what makes the tachash special, it has these beautiful colors on the outside, right? Beautiful, beautiful colors, splendorous colors on the outside. And I think that's the entire process of the Mishkan. Let's look at it again.
The tachash
which has these splendid, it's called in the Targum of it is sasgona. It rejoices in its colors. It rejoices in its colors. Right?
It's also an area that's not, you said it wasn't kosher.
Oh, it's pretty cool. So now, see, it rejoices in its colors. It's beautiful. Right? There are beautiful animals that are not kosher. Right? But here we had a beautiful animal that was kosher. An exquisite looking animal with beautiful colors. Right? You don't usually have, you know, the kosher animals are not so splendiferous, you know, even in their coloring. They're very drab, right? You see in what do you call it, in the kosher, in the non-kosher animals, you have some spectacular things. Cheetahs and what do you call it, and then this and that and the next thing. All different types of colors, etc. But in the world of the kosher, they tend to be very drab. But here you have an animal that is now kosher, that appeared only for the time of the Mishkan, and it is splendid, gorgeous coloring on the outside. So now let's go over the coverings of the Mishkan. The first covering is totally pure, right? Ten curtains, all from the Keves, which represents the Jewish people, pure, right? And that's directly above, that's directly placed of the Avoda, where the service takes place, and that's why it's called Mishkan, the place where the divine presence rests, and it binds together the Ma, like we said before, of man and the Ma of the Ribbono Shelom. Above that, and it's uplifted, it's being raised up, right? Above that are the curtains made out of goat hair. That shows man in his flawed state. Hashem will dwell even with man in his flawed state because he knows that can also be uplifted. Right? The next level is even Edom, right? Was what he called, is talking about, we're talking about the non-Jewish.
Well, here's the Edom.
What?
The goat hair is the idol.
No, that's what I said, we bent back before, what he called the goat hair is what he called, even when we're acting Esav. Flawed. It's Esav's influence on us, right? It's Esav's influence on us. In other words, when we act in a flawed way, that can also be raised up, right? That's like when we, on Yom Kippur, we take the scapegoat, we take the Seir La'Azazel, and we say, that's not really us. Even when we acted all year like that, we take this goat and we say, that's not really us, that's him. But we lived like that all year round, we discarded on Yom Kippur. So we can be influenced by Esav's way of living, where we're not completely connected. We're living, as it were, where our parts are not in sync with what he called, with who we really need to be. That's why there are 11 of them. So there's what he called, there is the bottom one, which is all pure, the one that's closest to the Mishkan. Above that is the goat hair. Above that is the red dyed Edom, the red dyed hide of the record of the ram, representing Edom. In other words, his external trappings can be sanctified. His internal essence can't be sanctified. But his external trappings can be sanctified. That's why, since his internal trappings, internal essence can't be sanctified, that's why there was no iron inside building the what he called the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what he called, that's his inside. His inside, a pig, which is the representation of Edom, the inside is not kosher. The outside is kosher. So there's no iron, but yet the what he called the red hide, red Edom, right, representing Edom, is that could be sanctified. And that's what he called, that's the next level. And then finally is the rejoicing, right, when you've got ordinarily the animals, all the spectacular colors are not kosher animals. But here, for the case, sake of the Mishkan, there appeared this tachash, right? This tachash with its splendiferous colors, right? And that's the top level. That means ultimately all of what will be left over, mankind, when the Gula finally comes, will be uplifted through what he calls the service and the unity between Hashem and the Jewish people. The bottom level, the pure Yerios, then the Yerios of Izim, then the Oros Elim Adamim, and finally the Sasgona, rejoicing in what he called them the colors, right? The Jewish people, through their service, Hashem will uplift all of humanity, and the whole world will rejoice.
Where is the uplifting Jewish humanity?
I'm sorry? I'm saying, what he called the upper level is the Tachash, yeah. Right? Usually, like the Mefarshim say, the Tachash wasn't necessarily kosher. But in the Midbar, it was a kosher animal with glorious colors. And the idea being that this, what he called this, the this animal, which is ordinarily not kosher, for the sake of the Mishkan, was it came in a kosher form with glorious colors, right? Rejoicing. That's the idea of Sasgona, rejoicing in its colors. The idea is that ultimately, right, the Jewish people, through their service Hashem, will uplift not only themselves, but to uplift the entire world.